Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We are kind of acting silly as this program gets underway today, but it's okay. It's all fun. And again, we welcome you. 844-322-2742 is the number to call in the U.S. and in Canada. If you have a question you'd like to add to the broadcast, and if you're hearing the broadcast in the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, well, it's a good time to call right now. 844-322-2742. And here to carry on is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to start by reading a passage out of Romans chapter 8. And I think it's a very important passage as we reflect on the events that took place over the weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Yeah.
Horrible display of hatred and bigotry and racism and prejudice and those sort of things in that particular town. And you think, gosh, is this still going on in 2017? Haven't we buried those attitudes? And the fact of the matter is we have not.
No.
They're still alive and well. They're filling the hearts of men and women all over this country. And at certain times, that heart is incited to act. And that's what we saw this particular weekend. And following that, there was, you know, all this social media banner of condemning those acts. Racism is sin. And that's exactly right. It's sin. It is sin. Well, we can make the condemnations vocally, verbally, as we did. We can write those on social media and all of that. But there was one condemnation that makes sense, and that's a condemnation that we see that took place 2,000 years ago. And here's what Paul had to say about that. He said, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." So what's the real problem? Sin and death. Well, racism, bigotry, hatred, all of those fall under that umbrella of sin and death. So Christ Jesus died to set us free from that sin and death. And then it reads this. Paul wrote, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So there was a condemnation against sin, and that occurred 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ, when he took upon himself the sins of the world, he condemned sin, all sin in sinful man. And he did that for a purpose, so that we could be set free from the law of sin and death, raised to walk in the newness of life.
Right.
Now, the problem with man is not our behaviors. We see behaviors out there, sins, and those are symptoms of something deeper. The problem with man is the heart. And Jesus talked about that time and time again. He said this, "Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and then is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." So Jesus nailed the problem of man. It's the heart.
Yeah.
A heart that has chosen independence from God, and that's exactly what happened with Adam and Eve. They chose to be independent from God, and in that independence, their heart became far away from God. So out of the influence, the control of God's work within the heart of man. And so out of that flows all these other things. That's the real problem. So we can condemn verbally. We can write laws. We can do all of those sort of things. But those things do not touch the human heart. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can touch the human heart. So we can condemn sin. We can call it what it is, and we should. And right here on Basic Gospel, we are condemning what happened this weekend.
Yeah.
We are agreeing with God. We are agreeing with the condemnation that took place 2,000 years ago at the cross when Jesus condemned sin in sinful man. But we're also agreeing with the good news of Jesus. If there's a solution out there, it's not political. It's not legal. It's not in any other way, shape, or form. It is going to happen through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. There's no other message that speaks directly to the hearts of men. And so we, along with the Bible, condemn racism. We condemn all those things. But we also say yes to Jesus. And thanks be to God that he died, was buried, and was raised on that third day, that even when these sort of things take place, we can still have hope. Not only hope for ourselves, but a hope that we can inject into the culture at large that can make a difference. And so our challenge to our listeners today is a challenge to rise up. We talked about this last month, and to be a voice, not to cave into the ways of this world and trying to solve this problem, but to stick to the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Rise up in confidence, knowing that it is the solution to every problem that we see on planet Earth.
Great admonition, Bob, and thank you for those words. This is Basic Gospel, of course, and we'd love to hear from you on this edition. If you're hearing during the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we would like for you to be a part of it at 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Now, this month, we've been talking about our new DVD teaching series called Your Living Hope. And, folks, we have a copy for you as you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. It's all about standing firm in against the pressures of the world that come to confront us, as Bob Christopher was very, very eloquently stating at the outset of this particular broadcast. But now, recently, Richard had this to say about this new DVD series, Your Living Hope.
Well, what Bob and I did with this was to try to open up Peter's first letter and show the hope that he was trying to apply to everyday situations. Look around in your own life. I mean, what is it like at work? What is it like at school? How much pressure are you receiving from work or school or any place else, over at the gym, whatever environment you find yourself in? How much pressure are you receiving to conform to what the world says is right? There's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's very overt, but most of the times it's subtle. And what Satan does with the world system is get us to just compromise a little, and then a little more, and then a little more, and then a little more. I mean, one of the easiest ways to look at how this works, and don't read too much into this, this is just an example. If you look at politics today, most of the people who are considered rabidly conservative are to the left of where John Kennedy was back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. That shows how things have changed over time, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit the next day, and the next, and the next. Jesus is constant. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Peter caught that message. Peter, of all of the people who was impacted by the pressures of the world system, always falling on his face because he gave in to that pressure, finally learned who Jesus was, and he was reminding his readers that you're going to face this stuff. You're going to face it at home. You're going to face it at work. You're going to face it in the environment in which you live. But Jesus is sufficient to all of that.
Yeah.
He's given you the strength. He's given you the hope. Let's live in that strength and hope and not worry about the rest of this stuff.
Well, that DVD series is called Your Living Hope, and if you'd like to get a copy, we'd like for you to have one. Simply click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and of course it will come with your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Once again, click donate at basicgospel.net or phone 844-322-2742 to make your contribution to keep the good news coming and receive your copy of Your Living Hope.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk to our good friend Chris. Hi, Chris. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi. I wanted to ask about 2 Samuel chapter 12 in the part where Nathan confronts David for his adultery. And then Nathan says that the Lord has taken away your sin, but because of this, you've given the enemies of the Lord occasion to blaspheme. The child born to you shall surely die. Well, someone was talking to me about this passage, and he said, see, based on this, there can be forgiveness of sin, but also punishment. There can be forgiveness of sin, but also consequences. Now, I don't disagree that sin has consequences, but the issue that I have is if you use that passage to try and say that there are consequences to your sin, that kind of consequence that we're looking at in this passage, that seems like the kind of consequence that I would never want. That's the kind that you have to be afraid of, like, well, God might kill someone close to you, or God might take away your job, or something like that. It seems more like punishment to me, which I think is out of place for the new covenant believer in Jesus. So I wanted to get your thoughts about that passage, and also where you think the line falls between punishment and consequences.
Well, good question, Chris. As far as the line between punishment and consequences, I mean, the punishment of sin is death. Yes. There's no other punishment than that as far as God is concerned. Time and time again, he said the wages of sin is death, that great passage in Romans 6. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to realize that the wages of sin is death. And so the only punishment that would suffice would be death. And when Jesus stood in our place, took our sins upon himself and died, he took the full measure of punishment. So there's no punishment left for us. Now, as far as consequences are concerned, there are natural consequences to sin. I mean, sin has built into it these consequences, these things that still kill and destroy. And so when we engage in sinful activities, we're more than likely going to experience some of those consequences. Now, not always, but many times that's the case. So we see that, for example, in divorce. Divorce has built into it its own consequences. There's the shame of the spouse that is being walked all over. There's hurt in the kids. There's destruction that takes place. But that's not God's punishment. That's the natural consequence of that particular sin. So we have to realize that the end goal of sin isn't blessing in our lives. The end goal of sin is destruction. Its aim, its purpose, its goal is to destroy us. And so when we give in to sin's temptations, you know, it has a purpose for luring us that way. And it wants to bring some of those horrible consequences to our lives.
Yeah. There's an aspect of this story that you need to pay close attention to, though. God doesn't condemn David about his adultery. He condemns him for his scorning of the Lord. The adultery was the result of scorning the Lord. So all of that God had given David, David basically said, I don't care about any of that. I'm going to have this woman if it kills me. And it should have killed him. Under the law, he could have, should have died. And then you look at this and you realize that there's a picture here. The child had nothing to do with the sin. The child bore the sin. Who bore our sin?
Jesus did. That's exactly right. So within this story, we see a picture of the sacrifice of Jesus. God sent his only son to bear our sins, to take them away once and for all, so that we could have everlasting life. And so you know that even though the baby's life was taken, that baby is with the Lord.
Yes.
I guarantee you that's exactly where David's baby went, to be with the Lord.
Yes.
Absent from the body, present with him, or in that place called paradise until the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So we can count on that. But that's all a picture of what you and I now have, Chris, in this new covenant,
yeah.
A covenant in which our sins have been forgiven once and for all, a covenant in which God remembers our sins no more. So that's good news. So is there punishment for sin for the believer? I just read at the top of the hour, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. So what's the wages of sin? Death. The Spirit of life has set you free. Therefore, there is no punishment for you. If you give in to sin, you're going to face some consequences. That's just built into sin. Yes. But that's not God punishing you. Does that make sense, yeah. Chris?
Yeah. I suspect that there are people out there, and I used to be one of them, who would say God forgave me for my sins, but at the same time they're worried as to what God might do to them as a result of their sins.
And the answer to that, God is not going to do anything except God is going to do some things. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to remind you. So when you sin, here's what God's going to do. He's going to remind you that Jesus' blood took away that sin once and for all. He's going to remind you that that sin has been forgiven on account of his name, that you have been forgiven on account of Jesus' name. He's going to remind you that you are a part of this new covenant, a covenant in which God remembers your sins no more. He's going to remind you of your new identity. He's going to encourage you to live out this new identity in the world today. He's going to promise you that he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He is going to take this as a teaching moment in order to teach you how to say no to those temptations in the future. That's what God's going to do. And it's all an act. They're all acts that he does for us as a loving father to his children. And even greater than what a loving father would do for his children. This is God himself, the one who is love, acting toward his children that he has brought about through new birth in Christ Jesus. So we can count on God doing some incredible things for us and through us, even when we sin.
Amen. Well, that's all I had for today. Thank you guys, as always, for making yourselves so available and for all the time you give us answering our questions. And God bless you richly. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks.
Well, thank you, Chris.
Thanks,
Chris. We sure appreciate it. We have a number of people watching us on Facebook today. Christina wrote and asked this question. What are your thoughts on the churches today preaching a false gospel, the feel-good gospel, so to speak? Well, here's my thoughts. They may be making people feel better, but they're doing nothing to help them with the real problem. And the real problem is sin and death. And if a person is going to have freedom and liberty from sin and death, only the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ will do. A feel-good message will only make you feel good while you're still bearing the weight of sin and death. It won't set you free. It won't bring you from out from underneath that. So there's a lot of positive feel-good messages that are being delivered today.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people lapping those feel-good messages up because they want to feel good about themselves. But the real problem is that they're dead spiritually and they need life. A feel-good message will not bring life to someone who is dead in trespasses and sins. Only the resurrected Jesus can do that. So why not give them the real cure? Why not give people the real remedy to the problems that they're facing? And when we do, they're really going to feel good about themselves. Not because they've recited some positive affirmations that they've heard from a particular person or read in a book or whatever it might be, but because they know truth. Truth is what sets us free, and when we know truth, then our emotions can follow suit, and we can actually experience things that transcend our emotions, things like joy and peace and self-control and all of those sort of things. So let's give people truth, the truth about Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. For those who are simply buying into the feel-good message and saying, hey, this is the message that I need to deliver, you have bought into the world system. You have conformed to the patterns of this world. You have bought into consumerism. You have bought into the marketing of the day that says find out what people want and give it to them. Well, I guarantee you people don't really know what they need on a spiritual level. They just know something's wrong. They have a hard time articulating it. But once the gospel is given, once the good news of Jesus is given, then their eyes get open to what their real need is. And their real need is Jesus. So deliver Jesus, and he'll take care of the rest, I guarantee you.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate hearing from Christina, as we appreciate hearing from everyone who contacts us. We just love hearing from you. And I think one of the good ways beyond the Facebook channel is with our app. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you can take us with you. Bob and Richard and I would love to go, and you can do that. We can do that if you take us with you on the Basic Gospel app. Like all apps, you'll find it in the Apple App Store.
Yes.
Did you have another question from Facebook or...
No, we'll go to email.
All right. This is an email question. What is the purpose of Jesus interceding for us in heaven? Christ's work to secure our salvation was complete on the cross, as evidenced by his cry, "It is finished." Spiritually, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, and by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. I understand, the writer says, that Satan is accusing us, pointing out our sins and frailties before God, just as he did with Job. But the accusations fall on deaf ears in heaven because of Jesus' work on the cross. It paid our sin debt in full. Therefore, God always sees in his children the perfect righteousness of Jesus. So my question is, he says, what do we need intercession from?
Well, because even though he sees us as righteous, we don't always see ourselves as righteous.
Yeah.
So we have an advocate that speaks to us on our behalf.
Yeah.
We also have an advocate that, you know, sends off those crazy accusations of our enemy. Mm-hmm. But when it says that he's always interceding on our behalf, I think of that as the eternal nature of his shed blood, that his shed blood always speaks on our behalf. So when we sin in the future, his blood still speaks.
Yeah.
It speaks to us, doesn't it?
Yes.
It's not that we're going to need more forgiveness. It's not that we're going to need something more from Jesus. It's just the fact that his blood will speak to us at that point and remind us again of what we have in Jesus, the fact that in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So I just see that as the eternal nature of Christ's work. It wasn't time-stamped. It didn't have a beginning or end. It's just eternal in its efficacy. And, boy, that gives us the ultimate assurance, the ultimate certainty, and the ultimate confidence as children of God. So I think that's what the writer is talking about. I don't think he's up there pleading to God.
Yeah.
You know, God sees a sin, and now God the Father is mad, and Jesus steps in and intercedes on our behalf and said,
gosh.
Oh, Heavenly Father, please recognize.
No, this time I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
No.
But that's what people think.
Yeah.
That's exactly what people think, that, you know, God gets mad at us when we sin. God the Father does. So Jesus has to step in and be our advocate, to cool him off, to throw a little water in his face. Calm down, Daddy. Come on now. let's rethink this. I did something. No, God the Father was fully satisfied with the work of Jesus.
Yes.
There is no anger on his part toward us. So his advocacy, being an advocate, his blood, it's speaking back to us, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's speaking to the entire angelic world and those forces of darkness, and we can count on that.
Yeah. Well, you just talked us right out of time.
I did. I didn't give you your allotted time. I'm sorry.
That's right. That's right. But we thank you anyway for joining us, everybody. So for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you with sincerity to be with us again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.